We have to start 661. Verse number 71. Om Suklam Bharadaram Vishwam Sashivarnam Chaturbhujam Prasannavadanam Dhyayet Sarva Vighnopashantaye. Om Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam. Om So in Vishnu Sahasranama, the last Nama that we saw was Dhananjaya. Dhananjaya is a name that we are very familiar with because that is the name with which Sri Krishna addresses Arjuna quite often in the Bhagavad Gita. Dhananjaya, Dhananjaya. Arjuna brought a lot of wealth to his kingdom, conquering the neighboring kingdoms. He was a great warrior, and to establish the kingdom, he had fought many battles and then he won a lot of wealth. So he won a lot of wealth performing his activities in this world. So he was called as Dhananjaya, winner of wealth. But in the spiritual connotation, when you say wealth, the real wealth is objectivity. The real wealth is being sakshi, a witness. The ability to be not involved. The ability to be detached. The ability to be in the action and yet be out of it. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Padma Patra Ivambasa. A lotus is born in water, lives in water, dies in water. Yet it has nothing to do with water. This inner wealth is what we are supposed to gain. But most of us, because we lack this inner wealth, we try to compensate it with external wealth. It is not possible. It is like when you are hungry in the waking state, but you are too busy to eat. So what you are doing is you are trying to compensate by eating in the dream state. How will it work? It won't work. So inside, when there is a lack, you got to fill that lack. You got to become paripurna within. So Dhananjaya, the Nama of the Lord. Also it can be taken as the Lord himself who manifested as Arjuna. Also what it means is, the real winner of the inner wealth and the all the outside wealth are also nothing but Brahma. Therefore this Nama, Dhananjaya is very apt. Because all the vibhutis in the world, all the glories belong to the Lord. Therefore, the Lord's, one of the famous Namas is Dhananjaya. So the advice in a way given to us through this is, win that wealth. All other wealth you are so much focused on running around, working to gain. At what cost? At the cost of essential knowledge. You are compensating with all the non-essential. The wealth that you have is useful only as long as you are in this world. The moment this body is gone, it's not useful. And even to be able to enjoy the wealth, firstly to acquire the wealth, secondly to enjoy the wealth and preserve the wealth, you need this knowledge. To be able to acquire the wealth, you need tremendous action, dynamic action, coupled with objectivity. Not get involved in the result, to be able to control and direct the mind. And then, once you have received the wealth as a result of your dynamic action coupled with objectivity, to be able to enjoy your wealth, you need to be detached. If you are attached, you cannot enjoy. The attachment destroys enjoyment. So therefore, even to enjoy your wealth, you need detachment. That real wealth, to be able to understand that iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold and place the right value and not an exaggerated value. That is called detachment. Detachment is not running away. And then to preserve, to retain, again you need detachment, this wealth. A lot of us suffer in all these three levels, to receive, to enjoy, to retain. So therefore he says, if you have this knowledge, like how Lakshmi ji is always with the Lord, isn't it? Lakshmi Kanta, we studied that before. One who attracts Lakshmi to him. Lakshmi is attracted by him. She stays with him. Lakshmi stays because he is detached. When you are so much clamoring after wealth, it doesn't stay with you. Only stays with you when you are a giver, not when you are a taker. So Dhananjaya, winner of wealth, winner of Shastric wealth, winner of the inner wealth and the outer wealth. In that sense, Dhananjaya. Next, let's get on to next shloka 71. Brahman yo brahma krit brahma, brahma brahma vivardhanaha, brahma vibhramano brahmi, brahma jnyo brahmana priyaha, brahman yo brahma krit brahma, brahma brahma vivardhanaha, brahma vidbrahmano brahmi, brahmajnyo brahmana priyaha. Brahmanyaha, the nama brahmanyam, I explained this before also, subrahmanyam. Subrahmanyam is the name of Lord Muruga, the son of Lord Shiva, the second son of Lord Shiva. Brahmanyam means friend of beings, especially, generally friend of all jivas, but especially the friend of all those people who study Vedas, propagate Vedas by doing tapas, by following the spiritual disciplines. That's what it means. So Brahman also means Shastra, Tapas, Vedas, truth, knowledge, all this. So one who protects the Shastra, he protects them. He's a friend of one who protects the Shastra. So general meaning is one who protects all the jivas. He is the one who provides and protects all the jivas. But especially when you talk about the meaning Brahmanyam, in the context it means the friend of all the people who follow, maintain spiritual disciplines, Vedas, Brahmanas, knowledge. All this. So, Brahmanyaha. Subrahmanyaha. Su means more emphasis. Pure. In that sense. Then Brahmakrit. One who performs Brahma or tapas. One who lives in the truth. One who controls himself from going into the untruth and brings himself to do activities establishing himself in the truth. One who abides by tapas. See, one of the meaning of the word Brahman is tapas. The more and more we do tapas, the more and more Brahman reveals to us. This particular class, I think we started somewhere around 2010 or 11. I don't remember now.
I think 2011.
Yeah. So almost 11 years we've been going through these classes.
Mm.
Now, we have done Bhagavad Gita, Bhajagovindam, and then some Upanishads. Two Upanishads I think we have done, Keno and Isha. And now we are doing this Vishnu Sahasranama. See, what we need to understand is, take the example of the racket used by Fedler. Supposing the racket is auctioned for a good cause and you buy it paying $1 million for it. You have got the racket used by Fedler. Now, does it make you a great tennis player? It doesn't. But when the same racket is in the hands of Federer, he is able to bring out beautiful magic on the court. He is done tapas in that field. You understand? And he is continuously doing that tapas. That is why even at the age of 40, 40, 41, he is still able to be at the top. Tremendous tapas. So what we need to understand is, one way of doing study is going on reading more and more books. Other is, book is just an excuse. Book is just an excuse in the sense, you do tapas, you maintain a spiritual lifestyle from morning till night. As a result, even in your subconscious mind during dream, it will be mostly spiritual. Then when you open the book, you will be able to see the depth, not just the length. You understand? That is the idea. The idea is to do tapas and then come and study. But how many of us do that, I don't know. We may be just reading the text, understanding its meanings per se, but it does not do much to us. That way what happens is we become more informed, but it doesn't bring about transformation. So, Brahmakrit, one who performs Brahma or tapas, one who lives in the truth. From morning till night, whatever I do is for the sake of realization. The very fact that I am getting up in the morning for the sake of realization. Then I am sitting and studying for realization. Then I do whatever physical exercises for my realization. Then I shower. For what? Not just cleansing the physical body, but I need to cleanse my mind and reveal the self through my personality. Then my food that I intake, for what purpose? To realize the self. So in every aspect, you are doing tapas. Such a person who has been performing tapas, when he or she takes up the text or even goes and listens to the master, just listening is enough. That is the main thing. And when you listen, you have to be fully there. See, one thing about this in-person classes, wherever I started now again, everybody is liking the in-person class mainly because they are fully there. Now, I am not talking about this particular class. There is another class which is my main class on Saturdays. There are about 40-45 people attending that class. Now, not everybody is on the screen. They just switched off the screen. In fact, I don't think anybody is on the screen except one or two fellows. They only come on the screen when they have to ask questions. I don't know what all they are doing. Maybe they are listening to my class walking because it's on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Maybe they are in the park walking. And somebody is probably cooking in the kitchen, listening to my class in the kitchen. I don't know. Maybe they are doing all that. Some of them, not all. Well, I myself saw in Chennai when I was there. And I got to somebody's house. The lady was in the kitchen. And I was hearing that audio from the kitchen. She is listening loudly to some lecture, online lecture. As she is listening to the online lecture, spiritual lecture, she is cooking. So now, when we do like this, we think we are following spirituality. No, it is not the length, it's the depth. Even if 1 second you deeply think of Brahman, Brahman will begin to reveal through you. We are more focused on the length of time rather than the depth. So the self reveals within you, through you, as you do tapas. As you put in efforts to control your mind and senses. It's very difficult, you know. That is why they say, in fact, in South, now slowly, slowly things are changing. But some people are very, very orthodox. They won't mingle with a lot of people. Even amongst their own family members, they will not eat the food cooked by their own daughter or daughter-in-law or anybody from home. They will only have to cook. They go to that extent. When you look at it from a different angle, it looks like stupidity or too much of rigidity. But when you understand these concepts, what they are trying to say is, if you are in Brahmani, you must try and limit your contact with the world. If you are too much into these things, then your ability to reveal the scriptures through you reduces. Strictly speaking, that is how it should be. The idea is what? The people organize the talks and the teachers go and teach and get out. The burden of organizing should not be in their head. Because they have to fully be able to reveal it. So you have to do tapas. So similarly, as students of the Gita, of the scriptures, of the Upanishads, of the Vedanta, we will be able to digest the knowledge, and the knowledge will reveal to us to the extent we do tapas. Otherwise, you can study 12 years, 15 years, doesn't matter. That is why the students go to Gurukula, stay there with the Guru, doing the tapas to gain the knowledge. That is extremely important. You understand? We don't understand that concept at all. So when he says Brahma Krat, then one who performs Brahma or tapas, the activities that enhances the Brahman in us. It's like fanning the charcoal after setting fire. You got to keep on fanning it. So similarly, when you have been initiated into the spiritual field, you need to keep on fanning yourself. Otherwise it's difficult. Little bit we go out, how slowly the mind gets dragged, you know. Very difficult. You can see that. In fact, in our ashram, one of the things that Swamiji does is, as he goes to different centers to lecture every year the students are taken to one particular center for a visit with him. So they come for about 5 or 6 days. And they stay with different people in a particular city, you know. So they pampered, they go through sightseeing, this and that. You can clearly see how the mind slowly, slowly gets dragged into the world. You begin to understand that you need to do more tapas. That's the reason why Swamiji brings them. So you got to really preserve until you get established. In the second chapter of the Gita, he says, the sense objects turn away from the abstinent. Abstinent means one who withdraws from the world. The sense objects turn away. But the rasa lingers in this. Rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. So the rasa will leave only when the person gets established in Brahman. So till you get established in Brahman, you got to continue doing tapas. The more tapas you do, the more Brahman reveals to you. This is what you need to understand. That is what Swami Ramakrishna communicates with that story which I have mentioned to you before also. Two great painters in a kingdom. The king wanted to decide who is the best amongst the two. So he gave them each one huge big hall to paint. One hall he gave them. He said, this side of the wall you paint, the opposite side let the other fellow paint. So one fellow started painting, almost 1 month he gave them time. One fellow started painting from the first day. The full wall he painted. Second fellow came only on the 29th day. And he did not come with any painting brush or paint or anything. He just brought, you know, the emery sheet, the salt paper. And he was smoothening the wall that was given to him, which is the opposite side of the other fellow. As he was smoothening the wall started becoming like a mirror. And it started reflecting the painting of the opposite fellow, the other painter. So this is a beautiful story Swami Ramakrishna says. He's conveying this only to us. It is not loading us with more information. It is actually offloading. Offloading the ego. Becoming more open. See, why is Arjuna Sharanagati in the beginning is considered to be very high? When Arjuna surrenders to Sri Krishna and asks for the knowledge, this is one of the most difficult Sharanagati. Why? Anybody?
Because it's complete surrender and he's asking for his shrey, not what is, what not his prey, but not just what he wants to hear or what is convenient.
When they do surrender, they're asking for prey only.
Krishna, I mean, he's going straight to the top, no? He's going straight to Krishna because, no?
He doesn't know Krishna as a top Gipala. This is our interpretation that we have heard from many people, maybe. Krishna was his close buddy. Very, very close friends. And all the nonsense they have done to them. All rubbish. The so-called rubbish things they've done together. Krishna helped Arjuna to elope with Subhadra. When you listen to all these stories, you have been brought up with the idea that Sri Krishna is Bhagavan, Bhagavan, Bhagavan. So you are sitting and listening. Otherwise, will you listen to somebody who helped somebody to elope with a girl? Tell me.
No, yeah, he's talking to Krishna as a friend.
Somebody who is married 16,000 wives. We have our own conditionings, no? Only from this person I learn. If tomorrow Mamtaji's son Pranav or Sridhar starts teaching Gita, it may not be that easy. She may listen to them. But to be able to surrender and listen, it's not easy. To be able to become vulnerable. So that is why, you know, you surrender to people about whom you've heard good things. It's easy for you. Yes or no?
Yes, you have to do
that. That is why we always ask this question, you know, how to select a guru. How to select a guru is not important. What does Bhagavad Gita say? Verse number 34, chapter 4. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. Upadekshanti te jnanam jnanina sattva darshana. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. When you got to learn by prostration, devotion, questioning and seva from the guru. And the guru will come to you, he says, when the sishya is ready. So you don't have to worry about selecting a guru. When you are ready, the sishya comes. So we are putting the onus on the outside there also. As long as we put the onus outside, we never learn, we never grow. Only when we put the onus on ourselves, we grow. So Arjuna Sharanagati is considered very great because he surrendered to his own friend Krishna, with whom both of them have done together all kinds of nonsense. Still to be unconditioned, not to bring all those things, and to be able to surrender your ego to such a person is not easy. Correct or not? Very difficult. you probably will go and listen to somebody whom you do not know. But somebody whom you know very well, you never listen. Very difficult. To be able to be absolutely free of judging, not to judge, and be ready, always being ready through tapas, then the knowledge reveals to you. Surrendering. That's why Arjuna Saranagati is very difficult. Brahmakrit. One who performs the Brahman. One who lives in the truth. One who abides by tapas, doing tapas. Then Brahma. Brahma. Brahma, one who creates everything as a creator. The creative force in anyone is enlivened by that truth. So the Kriya Shakti, is Narayana, the creative force. He is the one who functions as creator through Brahmaji. So the capacity to create in us is nothing but Brahman. So he says, another name of the Lord, Vishnu, is Brahma, the creator, the creative force. And to be able to create, not copy, is something else, isn't it? Many of us copy. It is very easy to copy. But to create, you got to be absolutely unbiased. To be able to bring about your inner ideas in the form of a product or a painting, you need to be absolutely free from the conditionings of this world. Creativity, any creativity. And any creativity is only possible when you lose your ego. Otherwise it's not possible. At that point of creation, you were not there. At that point. Through you, God reveals a new thing. That is creativity. Beethoven could not hear, isn't it? Am I right? Am I right?
He could hear, but towards the end of his career, he had a problem in hearing.
But what a beautiful music he used to bring out. See, creativity, when you bring anything original, it is Bhagavan doing through you. When you submit yourself to Bhagavan, Bhagavan does it to you. Any creative, you find out. You know, copy you, your ego is very much there. Today what has happened, creativity means the same thing, they just paint another color, that's all. That is not creativity. Anything can be born only when you are not there. Brahma. And then Brahma. Brahma. Bhrat tamatvat iti Brahma. Which means what? Being expanding, going on expanding. Being big, expanding. The Lord who is known from indications like Satya is called Brahma. Brahma is truth, knowledge and infinity. Existence, knowledge and infinity. See, Satyam Jnanam Anantam. That's what it is. Existence, knowledge, infinity means Satyam Jnanam Anantam. That one Brahman has expanded itself as this universe. And in the universe, there are things which just merely exist. There are beings which are having knowledge, which express consciousness. So, existence, consciousness, and infinite, anantam, endless, it goes on spreading. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. Infinity. These are actually the qualities of Brahman. Brahman is that which always exists. That which is. That which is. Alone is. That is called Brahman. Always existing. So our thoughts, if you take and try to fit it into the definition, it doesn't. Because our thoughts do not exist always. It keeps changing. Nothing in the world always exists. So the absolute existence is Brahman. And Brahman is pure awareness, pure consciousness. It is all-knowing. It knows itself. It is that supreme intelligence. So, when that supreme intelligence manifests through the beings, it expresses as intelligence in all different beings. So, that Brahman is alone that is expanded as this existence, knowledge and infinite. Brahman is infinite. It has no beginning, no end. This world also has no beginning, no end. So this Brahma means existence, knowledge, infinite. Satyam Jnanam Ananta. You remember in the Bhagavad Gita class I had given this example. When you see, when you heat the, water in a vessel, the water becomes hot. What are the qualities of heat? Fire, the heat and then light. Isn't it? When you boil water, only the quality of heat gets transferred there. Light is not getting transferred. But when you burn iron rod, when you put an iron rod in furnace, the iron rod becomes hot as well as it will shine, giving light. Yes or no? So in other words, in the non-living beings, the existence aspect alone is projected. In the living beings, both the existence and knowledge is projected. And all this constantly keeps changing, continuously renewing, and go on, in that Anantam is projected. So Brahman, which is existence, knowledge, infinite, is projected through the various manifestations, which is called Brahma, which goes on expanding. Brahma means goes on expanding. Bhagat tamatvat iti Brahma. Brahma vivardhanaha. Brahman promotes the ability to do more tapas. When you give yourself into Brahman by doing tapas, you develop more and more interest and ability to be able to perform tapas. And also Brahman helps in tackling the obstacles. Slowly, slowly. See, what we need to understand is Brahman is Ishvara who gives according to your bidding. When your bidding goes, you're not asking for that anymore. The giving also stops. So everything that I'm getting now is because I'm asking for it in some way or the other. This is what I need to understand. So, Brahma Vivardhanaha, one who increases the Brahman. That's what it literally means. Brahma Vivardhanaha means one who increases Brahman. One who increases Brahman means what? The tapas, the interest to study Shastra, the knowledge. All this is called Brahman, Brahma Vivardhanaha, the truth. So when you gain the grace of the law, your thoughts go more towards these things, not towards the mundane stuff. Then you give into the worldly thing, you are interested in wanting to know more and more worldly things, and the worldly things come your way. Whereas when you start this effort, you will be given more and more opportunity to continue expanding yourself in the world of divinity. Brahma with means one who knows Brahma. See, we say ignorance of Brahman brings about this universe. Does Brahman have the ignorance of Brahman? Huh? Anyone? Does Brahman have the ignorance of Brahman? Are you there or nobody there?
No, it doesn't have, because Brahman only doesn't know that it doesn't know.
Brahman?
Doesn't know that it doesn't know, so how will Brahman know that it doesn't know?
No. Are you saying Brahman is ignorant of Brahman or no?
Yes.
So I think it's not ignorant though. Brahman is not ignorant.
Ignorant. Brahman is all knowledge. Always knows itself. It is not the Brahman. You remember the basics. Brahman and then Brahman with Shakti. The Shakti called Maya. Brahman with Maya Shakti, we use a specific term called Ishvara. You remember? Then we don't talk about Maya, we just use the word Brahman. When we talk about Maya, the Shakti, Avarna Vikshepa Shakti. The Shakti that covers and creates thoughts. Isn't it? Now if you are all the time thinking that I am Brahman, 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 and you will be in Brahman consciousness, what will happen? You won't get on to work. So what happens? The Maya Shakti covers. And then you begin to run. So Brahman plus Maya is Ishwara. But the difference between Ishwara and you and me is what? We are controlled by Maya. Ishwara controls Maya. You remember that example which Swami Chidananda ji gives in this context I have mentioned. A young boy is walking along with his father on the road. At the time, two policemen have caught hold of a small pickpocket. They have shackled him and they are taking him to the police station. The son is asking, what's happening? He said, he's a thief. He's caught by the police and so the two policemen are taking him to the police station. Within few minutes, on the road, the president is going, president of the country. So before his car, 10-15 police cars are going with so many policemen. Behind also, 10-15 police cars are going with policemen. So this fellow says to the father, Papa, bigger thief is going. Then the father says, no, he is not a thief. He is the president of this country. Meaning, he controls the police force. Police don't control him. In the case of the pickpocket, police was controlling him. So, Ishwara controls the Maya. He is not subordinate to Maya. Whereas we are subordinate to Maya. You understand? So, in this context of Brahma with Brahman never forgets because Maya cannot control Brahman. Leave with me. But when the Brahman through the Maya expresses, various jivas have come up. Shweta, Mamta, Sadhana, Lakshmi Narayan, various jivas have come up. So these jivas are ignorant of Brahman. Brahman is always all-knowing. Clear? Is it clear or not? Nobody is answering.
Yes.
So Brahman never forgets itself. Brahman is always knowledgeable. Brahman knows itself. So it's not that Brahman has fallen. Brahman never falls. That is the name of the Lord, Achyuta. Achyuta means one who has never fallen. One who never falls. So Brahma Ved, one who knows the Vedas and the real meaning. One who knows the truth. One who knows Brahman. One who reveals the truth through the Vedas. And Brahmanaha. One who in the form of Brahmana instructs the whole world saying it is commanded so and so in the Vedas. So who is Brahmana? Brahmana is not the one who is born by birth Brahmana. Brahmana means one who studies, understands, transforms and reveals the truth that is explained in the Vedas, goes about living the knowledge and propagates the knowledge. Such a person is called Brahmana. only he is Brahmana. One who has realized that the pluralistic phenomenon is nothing but a superstition, a superimposition upon Brahman. That one pure consciousness was due to misunderstanding, was projected as this universe. And having understood this truth, he goes about propagating this truth. That person is called Brahmana. Vishwamitra was not by birth a Brahmana. Was he? No, he was a Kshatriya. You know that, no? Vishwamitra was a Kshatriya. And then he became a Brahmana. So Brahmana is not by birth. Brahmana, when you say one who in the form of Brahmana goes about teaching the scriptures. And to be able to teach the scriptures, I already explained to you, only if you do tapas it reveals truth. Somebody who's been doing it. And this is called Brahmana. So today what has happened is Brahmana has become somebody who is just instructing the scriptures. But it is actually one who through tapas is able to bring about the truths in the scriptures. They are all nothing but words that is hiding the truth. Isn't it? What is this Vedas? Vedas are words hiding the truth. What is the job of the Brahmana? Huh? I'll explain that with an example. If I say Pitambara, what comes to your mind?
Yellow Krishna.
Krishna. But here, Pita Ambara means yellow cloth. Literal meaning of the word is yellow cloth. So, Pitambara is the name of Lord Krishna. When you are brought up in this culture, you know that Pitambara means it is referring to Lord Krishna who is wearing yellow cloth. And here the yellow cloth means the earth. And Krishna is the dark reality which is not known to anyone. So this earth is the outer aspect of the inner Brahman. You understand? Now this much you understand about Pitambara. So what has happened? You go beyond the word Pitambara, which just literally means yellow cloth. So it's not the one who just instructs you the words that is called Brahmana, but one who is able to take you beyond the words. You know, Hamlet was reading a book and his Polonius is asking Hamlet, what readest thou, my lord? He says, words, words, words. Just words. But that words needs to be taken out so the truth comes out. That is what the Brahmana is supposed to. Then, Brahmi, one in whom is established such entities as tapas, Vedas, etc. So, Brahmi means one who is with Brahma, one who is with tapas, one who is with all these truth all the time. It's called Brahmi. Brahmajnaha, one who knows the nature of Brahma. Jnaha means knowing. Brahmagya means knowing Brahman always. Brahmavit Brahmagya. Vedavit means one who knows Vedas. Nyaha means knowing. So Brahmagya means one who knows Brahman in the unmanifest form and in the manifest form. And always identifying with that unconditioned Brahman even through all its manifestation. That is Brahmagnyaha. So Brahmagnyaha means one who knows Brahman in the essence, not one who knows about Brahman. One who has destroyed the ego, dissolved the ego and merged with Brahman. It's called Brahmagnyaha. Sita Pragnyaha. We studied in the second chapter. Nyaha means knowing. Pragnyaha means knowing well. Sita Pragnyaha means knowing well, always established in the truth. That's what Brahmagnyaha also means. One who lives ever in Brahman. Always in pure consciousness. Never does he slip out of that awareness of the truth. He may be playing about in this world, but never does he lose that consciousness, awareness. That is called Brahma, Brahmagnyaha. Swami Srinivasa gives this example of the baker, dreamer and all that. When you wake up from the dream, you become the waker. The waker alone knows the waking state. And having woken up, supposing he enters the dream consciously, he'll go about acting in the dream, but always keeping the awareness of the waker. So that's what happens. Never gets involved. Never gets into any suffering. Suffering comes when you get involved. When you fall. When you're attached. So there is no suffering for Brahmagnyaha. That is why in the beginning of the Gita, Sri Krishna says, wise people do not agree. Ashochyan anvashochatvam prajnavadamsya bhashase gatasun agatasun na anushochanti panditaha. Wise people do not grieve. Agnyaha doesn't grieve. But if you are grieving, what does it mean? You only know the words. You really do not know. Do you know? In a sense, and there will be no grief in you. Then what will be there? Only playfulness. Only lightheartedness. You will go about living in this world with that lightheartedness. Playfulness. It's like Krishna, Sri Krishna. So, even when they portray Rama in the series and all that, they portray as if he's going through suffering. He doesn't go through suffering. Not at all. Next day he was supposed to be coronated. And he was asked to leave. Next day he will be the king. It's the morning. Every arrangement is already being made. As sleep and get up in the morning, he will be coronated. But he was asked to leave and spend his time in the jungle of 14 years. Happily he left. Which means what? He had zero interest in whatsoever. He was ready to face the life as it comes. See, that is how a jnani lives, you know. That is what happens when you go for adventure, when you are going for hiking, all kinds of adventurous trips people go. Some people go in the motorbikes. You may be very well prepared, planned, everything, but all kinds of surprises come in between. You never know. And you get ready to face any surprises, any challenge. So when you go on these kind of adventures, it roughens you. It makes you tough. That is how a person who is rooted in the knowledge lives. Whatever comes, I'll face it. Not egoistically. The trust in the truth. You become so vulnerable like a plant in the garden. It is exposed to the sun above, wind, rain, all kinds of weathers. All kinds of weather it is exposed to. Its root is beautifully, deeply clinging into the earth. Similarly, when you become Jnaha, Brahma Jnaha, then any challenge, anything, you become ready. Whatever is thrown at you, I'm ready to face. Cheerfully, not complaining, not grumbling. That's what most of us do. Trying to give ourselves protection, living in a false environment. The kind of life a bird lives, it has its own nest for it to come and rest. But it goes about, in the nest there is no refrigerator, nothing. Future, it's patane. It doesn't bother about future, it just goes about. It's there, exactly like that. Then you are a Brahmajna. Not otherwise. Not the one who keeps everything and leading a very protective life. It's the life which is called as imprisonment. You're a prisoner of your own thoughts. You are a prisoner of your past and future. Then you are not a Brahmajnaha. So, Brahmajnaha, one who lives ever in Brahman. And then, Brahmanapriyaha. Brahmanapriyaha means one who loves Brahmins and one who is loved by Brahmins. Brahmana Priya. Both Brahmins, as I already explained to you, not by birth. Brahmins means one who is studying, reflecting, doing tapas and revealing the self, revealing the truth behind the words. That person is Brahmana. So, Lord or Brahman, one of the names of the Lord is Brahmana Priyaha. So if you are doing tapas, he likes you more. It doesn't mean otherwise he'll hate you. When you go to a mandir, the Lord is facing us. Your face looks at the Lord. The Lord is facing all the devotees. And let's say some of the devotees have turned the other direction. They don't see the Lord's face. They don't get the Lord's grace. But to get the Lord's grace, you need to turn your face towards the Lord. Similarly, the Brahmins are those who have turned their personality towards divinity. So hence, he He says, Brahmana Priyaha. He loves Brahmins. And he is loved by Brahmins. The more and more sattva, when the increase of sattva is there in your personality, you have enough sattva, then you love Brahman and everything about Brahman. You want to hear more and more stories of Brahman. You do not want to be more and more in the materialistic world, the pluralistic phenomenon. Therefore, he says, one who loves Brahmins, one who is loved by Brahmins. See, birds of the same feather flock together. You understand? Birds of the same feather flock together. If you have the same or similar traits, then people who have some similar traits will be attracted. If not, they won't. So when the sattva in you increases, then you will more and more be interested in the shastras, in the rituals, in the japa, etc., etc. In the bhajans, in the bhakti, in these kind of things. So it's to do with that. And Brahman also likes the sattvic people in the sense they get the grace of Brahman becoming sattvic. In that sense, Brahman likes sattvic people. So Brahmana Priyaha. One who likes Brahmins and one who is liked by Brahmins. So with this, we can conclude today's class. We'll meet next week. Om Purnamada Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva Buddhyatmanava Prakriti Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parismai Narayanayeti Samarpayam.